In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is born. So as we continue to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, his birth for the salvation of the world, we must resist the temptation to think that, well, I've heard this story so many times that I can just tune out now. I know that he was born of the Virgin Mary. I know that the Magi came. I know that they were warned to go a different way. I know that they went to Egypt. I've heard it, right? But like the other great feasts of the church, the Nativity provides us with an invitation each year to enter more fully and deeply into the mystery of our salvation. The miracle of the Word becoming flesh never changes. But it's us who needs to change in order to welcome Christ into the temple of our hearts more fully throughout our lives. So today the church calls us to mature in our understanding of the Lord's nativity, especially beyond that of presents and parties. By commemorating on this day, among others, Joseph the betrothed, an elderly relative of the Virgin Mary, Joseph who reluctantly became her guardian when she had to leave the temple where she had grown up as a child. One of the verses chanted at Vespers last night states, "A strange betrothal fell upon his lot." A strange betrothal. So betrothal was an arrangement in which a man becomes the guardian of a woman. It did not necessarily imply the intimate relations of marriage that our society considers. And as an 80-year-old widow, he was reluctant to take on this responsibility for a teenage girl, but obeyed God's command nonetheless. And in doing so, he played an essential but often overlooked role in how salvation came into the world. Sit on the ground too. The story of Joseph resonates with so much of the heritage of the Old Testament. We have an evil ruler who wanted to murder the young Savior because he saw him as a threat. This was Herod. And as before, Pharaoh had ordered the deaths of the Hebrew male infants in Egypt. And now Herod, a wicked king just like him, reigns again. Herod ended up slaughtering the young boys in and around Bethlehem when he realized he had been tricked by the wise men. And in Exodus, the Hebrews had fled Egypt on the night of the Passover, and now the young Messiah flees Israel to go to Egypt at night. And once the danger had passed, Joseph brought the family back to the Promised Land, just as the Hebrews eventually returned after wandering in the desert for 40 years. And recall also the story in Genesis of another Joseph. He went to Egypt unwillingly as a slave sold by his brothers, but eventually saved his whole family from a famine by bringing them all there. Now, these connections are not in the least bit accidental. For Matthew's gospel describes Joseph's role in our Lord's early life with obvious, intentional Old Testament connections. Joseph's story is a challenging reminder that God calls us at any stage of our lives to cooperate with his desire for our salvation, and indeed for the salvation of the world. We do not serve him in a realm of some imaginary perfection any more than Joseph did. But in that same world, with children whose lives are in danger of deadly violence, and with families who must flee for their lives of refugees. This is our reality today, just as it was then. And there are still many rulers and regimes this day every bit as vicious and as Herod was in Christ's time. Joseph reminds us that God uses our cooperation to accomplish his purpose in the world. That certainly was the case in the Old Testament with Abraham, Moses, David, and countless others who responded to God's initiative. And he worked through them despite their many failings. And through the free response of a teenage girl came the Messiah, in whom the ancient promises to the descendants of Abraham were fulfilled and extended to all of us. The details of our Lord's conception, birth, and infancy show that God does not force his people to obey him. We can disregard God, and indeed often do. And we can refuse to live as those created in the divine image and likeness. It's tragically possible to become like Herod in moral depravity and spiritual blindness, to the point of disregarding even the humanity of innocent children and ruthlessly destroying anyone who stands in the way of getting what we want. Our vocation is not simply to avoid becoming that wicked king, but to become like the Theotokos and Joseph the betrothed. Their lives took more than a few unexpected turns, and we too must accept that the healing of our souls will likely not occur according to our own preferences. And this was certainly the case for Joseph, who took on unanticipated responsibilities because he knew that it was God's will for him. And through the obedience of this unlikely couple in their respective callings, the Savior came into the world. And so let us begin by bearing witness to the good news that we celebrate at Christmas. The Word has become flesh. The Son of God has truly become one of us. We must then become like him in holiness as we grow in our participation of his divine life from the depths of our hearts. Regardless of age, status, or any other characteristic, our fundamental vocation is the same: to undergo a change of mind and heart such that we come to offer ourselves without reservation to fulfill our unique calling for the salvation of the world. May this year's celebration of the Nativity mark a new commitment on our part to discern how Christ is calling us to bear witness to his healing of the human person in his divine likeness. What better New Year's resolution is there? As with the Theotokos and Joseph the betrothed, there is no telling what that will mean for the course of our lives, other than it will certainly change it. It is surely the only way to enter into the mystery of our salvation in this moment. Christ is born.
Lord,